Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening. God bless. God bless everybody. So glad to be here tonight. This is another day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we're glad in it. This is your friend, Brother Omar Zachary, and you are tuned in to Praise Tabernacle Church's Tuesday night Bible study. And we thank God for the opportunity to be on Blog Talk, Clay Chaos Blog Talk. Thank God for Elder Oliver and allowing us to be on his platform. We thank God for the panel that's been so faithful to this Tuesday night Bible study. And we just honor God for everything that he's doing in our lives. Listen, be encouraged, my brother, my sister. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God still has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. He's got you in mind. God loves you. I don't care what you're going through right now. I don't care how bad it seems. It probably looks badder than what it really is. But there's nothing that you can go through, especially mainly to the believers in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you can go through that Jesus won't bring you out of. We preached a message Sunday morning and preached from the subject something about that name. And somewhere in that message, we talked about and we was proclaiming that if you can get in it, no matter what the fire is, no matter what the fire is in your life, if Jesus may not get you out the fire, but for sure, he'll get in there with you. He'll get in there with you, and he'll make it better. While others are looking and thinking you should die, others are looking and hoping you die, wishing you die. Some way between then and now, they acknowledge and they can't help but to recognize that Jesus is in the fire with you. So we thank God that we have a true, that we serve the true and living God, that he's not some fairy tale, but he's real. And we thank God for Jesus. We're going to say a word of prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be that of our new evangelist, Evangelist Talia Bugs. Amen. She's going to be leading us in our study on tonight. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We give your name glory, honor, and praise, because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you for this Tuesday night study. Even where we are right now, it's raining, the weather is raining and things, but we got sunshine on a cloudy day. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we ask that you crown the teacher tonight, crown her head with wisdom and knowledge. We ask that you give the panel also foresight and insight on the scriptures on tonight, that whatever comes forth will be a blessing to these your people. These and other blessings we ask and pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Evangelist Bug, services into your hands. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor Omar, and thank you to the panel for being on here on tonight, and thank you to everyone listening for coming to partake in this word tonight. So I am grateful for the opportunity to be able to share what the Lord is saying to me with you, and what the Lord is saying to all of us through Ephesians 4. And so hopefully on tonight we will get towards the end of Ephesians 4. And even if we don't, then we'll just save it for the next time. And so far in this study of Ephesians 4, we have been talking about holiness. We've been talking about being a new person. We have talked about turning from what the world says that we should do and living our lives in a way that is honoring to God, that is in the image of God, living our way that is countercultural to the Gentiles that are not saved. We are new, we're different, and we are called to live our lives in a way that shines in the darkness and hopefully calls other people to be in the light and come out of the darkness. And we talked about being unified in the body of Christ, that no matter what we think about the little things that don't matter, whether you should clap your hands or not clap your hands, or whether you should wear a suit or not wear a suit. There's things that unify us in the body of Christ, meaning that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one Savior. There's one resurrection. There's one judgment. There's all of these things that help us and hold us together in the body of Christ in our faith, and those are the things that we should hold on to, and those are the things that we should focus on, so that if anyone should come and try to tell us otherwise, we as the body, we know the word for ourselves, we know Jesus Christ for ourselves, that we can discern and rightly divide a truth from a lie, so that when the enemy comes with this new fad and that new thing, and actually let me tell you what the Bible really is trying to say, all of these new things that come up day and day of what other people think God is saying or what other people God is doing, we can stand firm on the truth and on the word of God that doesn't change. It's a living word, but it doesn't change. God's word is alive today, but it does not change. And so that's what we've talked about so far in this chapter of Ephesians 4 and Paul's letter to Ephesus. And so we're going to pick up from where we left off, and we're going to look at Ephesians 4 and 20. And in Ephesians 4 and 20, it says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And so we're going to stop and look at this part of Ephesians, focusing, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And so when we're saying putting on and putting off, this has the same idea of putting off or putting on a set of clothes. And the idea is to change into a different kind of conduct. If you think of a prisoner who was released from prison but still wears his prison clothes and acts like a prisoner and not as a free man, the first thing to tell that person is that they should put on some new clothes. And even as putting on different clothes will change the way you think about yourself and see yourself, even so, putting on a different conduct will start to change your attitudes. This means that we shouldn't wait to feel like the new man before we put on the new man. And fundamentally, Paul says that for the Christian, there must be a break with the past. Jesus isn't merely added to our old life. The old life dies, and he becomes our new life. And so hearing all of this, we tend to, as believers, linger in who we used to be. And there's some parts of our lives before we were saved that, you know, really weren't all that bad. We enjoyed ourselves. We had fun. And though we might have been living contrary to the word of God and what he calls us to live, we really look back on that part of time and it really wasn't all that terrible. And if somebody told us about and reminded us about that time of our lives, we might look back on it with some fondness. And so some of us in our lives, we live in such a way that we're okay with who we were before Christ came into our lives. And we excuse how we used to be before we got saved as just a part of us. It's just, that's just how I am, and that's just how God made me. That part of me is just always going to be that way. God can't change that. God can't fix that. That's just how God made me. And sometimes some of us, we abuse the Lord is still working on me to justify our decision to act outside of the character of God. And when we do this, we make it seem as though God's not able to remove those parts of us. And I'm talking about the you are upset, somebody's done something to you, you're in a moment of anger, and you cuss. And you know you felt the Holy Spirit tell you, don't do it, don't say it, don't you let that word come out of your mouth. And there's a choice that you make where you say, no, I'm going to do it anyway. No, I'm a sin. I got to say this. And that's the abuse that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about genuine, wholehearted, it came out of me. I'm talking about the choices that we make to go against the word of God when we know better. That's when we abuse the Lord is still working on me. And we don't want to give a message that God isn't able to cleanse all of our unrighteousness, that God can only cleanse some of our unrighteousness. Because then if we do that, then we're saying that God is not enough, that he's not able, he's not sufficient to cleanse us completely and totally and make us white as snow. And there has to be a point, as this text is saying, where who we are is no longer who we were. Who we were is no longer who we are. There has to be a point where our past becomes our past, and who we are now in Christ is who we're going to be going forward, and we're not going to keep bringing our past with us to the point that it becomes a hindrance or a burden to us. It's not who I used to be, and I'm proud of who I used to be, and there's still a lot of pride in that, and me being able to cuss like a sailor, drink with the best of them, smoke with the best of them, and be able to go out and do all of these things with my body, with my mouth, and my thoughts. It's shifted to, girl, I'm saved now. I can't even tell you who I used to be. Now I'm saved, and I thank God for Jesus that I'm saved now. And if I wasn't saved, that's how I would have responded. But, the Lord is in my life now, and I can't do that because that's going to be damaging to my witness. And I can't allow somebody, and I most certainly can't allow the devil the opportunity to accuse me of being a hypocrite because I'm professing and proclaiming all these things, and I turned around and did the exact opposite of what I know God expects me to do, how he expects me to act and react. And so it becomes a point where we start to think to ourselves and witness and minister to other people that these are the things that I would have said, but thank God for Jesus that I'm not saying that. Like, those words just can't even come out of my mouth. And, saying things like, thank you, God, for changing me so that I sound different from the world. Because I think all of us, we know Christians who don't say it like that and who don't sound that way. And like I said, there has to be a point when who we used to be is no longer who we still are, and that person is no longer with us. There has to be a death. That old man has to die and go away. And as a Christian, as Christians, we should be saying, yeah, that's who I used to be, but I'm different now. I'm new. I'm not that person anymore. And some of us have gotten so comfortable with who we are and who we were, those parts of us that we know are contrary to who God's character is, that we've just accepted those parts as something that is off limits to God. Or we've just become blind to the fact that this is not actually a part of God's image. This part of me that I have, this sinful, fleshly part that I have, it shouldn't still be here. This should have been cut off. It should have been killed. It should have died on the cross, but I'm still holding on to it. Some of us, we just don't even recognize. We don't even know that we still got this part of us that's lingering and carrying on, and we feel like, God, you know what? You can't change me too much. I got to keep some part of myself. I got to recognize myself somehow. That's just who I am. And this scripture is telling us that you have to know who you are. Everything, every being, every characteristic, every trait, every part of you that is contrary to who God is needs to be and should be 100% nailed to the cross. There is nothing that is off limits. There's no aspect of your life, no moment of your past, no part of your personality, no trait or characteristic that you have, if it's contrary to who God is, it needs to be nailed to the cross. And, you know, some of us, we should have had a funeral for it, that part of us that's lingering. But some of us are walking around with the ashes in the urn, not to show people, look what God has done, and not to show people, say, look how much he's changed me. But instead, some of us are walking around with the ashes because we want to show this dead part of me that God has taken. Look, let me show you who I used to be. Let me show you how I used to be able to just cuss people out. Let me show you how I used to be angry. Girl, you better be glad you saved me because you don't know who you messing with. And we're walking around with who we used to be as a threat to let people know, don't mess with me. But instead, we should be walking around with who we used to be on our cross, saying, look how great and mighty God is. Look at his wonder-working power. Look how he has laid to rest the old me and birthed this new me. But that's not how some of us are carrying around our old selves. We're taking that urn around with those ashes, and we're saying, look at this sinful lifestyle I used to live. And low-key, I'm kind of longing for it. I wish I could go back to it because life was fun then, and I was justified in my sin, and I could say whatever and do whatever. And I dare even say that some of us are looking for an excuse to go back to it. When we're carrying around our old selves, we're just looking for an excuse for someone to say, well, why don't you try it now? We want to go back to that sin. We want to go back to those moments because they felt that they were nice. Being a Christian is hard because God is telling us to do the exact opposite of what we used to do. And some of us are walking around. I'm sure if you've been on the internet for a while, you've seen the meme of Salt Bae, and he's sprinkling the salt on whatever he's sprinkling the salt on. He's got his little glasses on, and he's just doing a little drizzle. And that's how some of us are walking around, just sprinkling a little ashes of who we used to be, reliving those moments just to remind people, like, yeah, you don't know what I used to do before I was saved, girl. Don't know who you're messing with. But we can't do that. Some of us want to take the grace, the mercy, and the mantle off of us for just a second so that we can be in our flesh and use it as an excuse to say how I really feel, to do what I really want to do, to just be a human, just have a moment. But we can't do that. And so instead of being the new creature and operating in love and grace and mercy and doing the things that God has called us to do, walking in the right, loving holiness and righteousness, hating what's evil, we have to be careful that we don't take off the new man and put back on the old man. And if there's anything on us that we are still wearing, anything that's a part of us that's old, we should be doing a spiritual fit check and saying, okay, this is actually not what God wants from me. I need to take this off and nail this to the cross. And this is not actually something that God says, that I don't even see this in the Bible. I can't say this. I can't do this. I got to get this away from me. I have to put these things to death on the cross, and I can no longer carry these things with me. And if I choose to carry it, it's only to show you God can do anything for anybody, for anyone. And it's not a longing to go back to my sin, but I want to show you that if he can change me from this, then there's nothing that he can't do for you or the next person that we're witnessing to. That is the only reason why we should even be referencing coming back to the old man. Not because we long to be back there, but just simply because we are showing, witnessing, and testifying that this is what God can do for you. So we can't live like that anymore, and we can't excuse the sin anymore. If there's any part of us that is still causing us to sin, we have to be better. Okay, we have to be better. And so in this next part, it says, you have not so learned Christ. And the repetition of this idea shows that putting on the new man has a strong aspect of learning and education to it. You have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. At some point in our Christian walk, we stop going to God only for what we need or when things are going wrong. And it stops being so transactional where, God, I'm going to give you this so that you will give me this. And I'm going to do this, and then you're going to do this, where I give you this, and so therefore, God, you have to meet this need, and you have to do this. It's not transactional like we're swiping a credit card or like we're handing God cash and he's giving us our product. No, our interaction with God becomes where I'm going to God just to go to God because I enjoy his fellowship. I just enjoy being close to him. I just enjoy being near to him. I just enjoy hearing his voice because when we go to God and just to enjoy his fellowship, when you spend so much time with someone, you become friends, you become acquainted, you start to learn more and more about them. And if you keep going to them, that means that you really like them. So we become God's friend when we start to just enjoy in his fellowship. And when we're in his fellowship, we enjoy his counsel. Because odds are, if you're friends with somebody, after a while, you're going to start telling them your problems. Once they have shown themselves trustworthy and that they can, you know, hold water and not go run and tell your business to everybody, you'll start to go to your friend and say, you know, I just need to vent. I just need to tell somebody this. Well, what should you do? What would you do in this situation if you were me? Well, what do you think I should do? And we should be like that with God, that we just come to him just because we want to spend time in his word, and he's great at giving advice. And when we spend time in his word and we listen to his advice, we know that we come to him because we delight in his ways. Like spending time with him, God says some things that just, and doing what's righteous and what's holy, it makes me happy. It makes me feel good. One, because I know that I'm pleasing my Father, but like also, two, God really knows what he's talking about. Like loving your neighbor does something for the soul that just helps give you life and helps to keep you going. Helping those who are in need, the poor, the widows and the orphans, that just gives me life to know that I'm doing something that's worthwhile. To guard my heart and my mind gives me life because it just helps me to not get anxious or worried. To love and forgive my neighbor gives me life because it helps me to live a life that's stress-free. Even though stress will come, I can let go of that stress. I can let go of the hurt. I can let go of the pain because I know that what God says is trustworthy and I can delight in his ways. And we enjoy his ways because they're life-giving and we know it for ourselves. We spend time in our word for ourselves. No one has to tell me about Jesus because I read him for myself. I met him for myself. I know him for myself. I've seen how he's moved in my life for myself. No one has to tell me about Jesus. But that doesn't mean I still don't have a lot to learn about the Bible. I do, and I want to learn all of that. But I know that I've had a real life encounter with the Savior, and so I know him for myself. And now I have to spend the rest of my life learning about him, learning about God, learning about the Holy Spirit. How do they all operate and work together, and how do they all operate and work together in my life? And so, yes, there's learning and education to it. You have to spend time in your word, in a study Bible, in a commentary, in a small group, in a church. You have to spend time listening to the word, reading the word. You have to spend time listening to other people listen and read the word. And if we really, really think about it, if we really, really committed to it, we wouldn't have time for social media. We wouldn't have time to go to the movies. We wouldn't have time to play sports. We wouldn't have time to do anything because God's word is so rich and there's so much stuff out there that we could spend an entire lifetime just reading nothing and studying nothing but the Bible. If we really, really wanted to, because sometimes that's how I feel. Like there's just not enough hours in the day to read the Bible. There's just not enough hours in the day to watch all of these people talk about this part of the book and that part of the chapter. There's just so much stuff out there. And a part of me gets a little excited because I'm like, I want to spend the rest of my day doing this. But then I remember I got bills to pay and I got a job. So at some point, I got to put this Bible down, but like, I'm going to come back to it because I do got to go to work, but I'm going to come back to it because it's just that good. And when we spend time in the word, then it just gets sweeter and sweeter to the point Or it kind of becomes an addiction where you just have to read it. There's just a part of you where your day goes horribly wrong if you don't read the Bible, if you don't spend time with the Word. But that only comes with close fellowship. And so when we know Him for ourselves, we know that this is a relationship that we want to spend time in. This is a relationship that we want to invest in. And the world is trying to tell us that Jesus stuff, that Christianity stuff, that patriarchy stuff is old, is religion, and religion is dead. Nobody even believes in God anymore. And that's where our world and our society is shifting to. And the world would even critique us as believers and call us out when we're being hypocrites and not practicing the faith that we believe in. So the world is watching us. And they're trying to tell us and convince us otherwise, that Jesus isn't real, He wasn't the Savior, God isn't real, there's no need for the Holy Spirit. But when we know Him for ourselves, we know that simply is a lie and it's not true. And we know that we're new creatures and we're delighting in and living out God's word. That's what we do. And so the world can say whatever they want to say, but we know who we are, who we're created to be, what our purpose is, and that is to live out our life for Jesus. And so each day we learn to be more and more like Jesus and depend on God for everything because Christ called us to be more like Him. Each day we should be running this race to be more and more like Him and not only be like Him but also to do His work on this earth. And you can't do His work if you don't know His work. You can't profess Jesus, proclaim Jesus, talk about Jesus wholeheartedly and believe it if you don't know what it is that He's done, right? I can't tell you to be somebody's friend if I don't really know them for real and I just met them. But if I've known this person for a long time, they've been there through me, been there with me through it all, through the highs and the lows of my life, I can tell you why you should be their friend. If I could tell you all of the things that they've done in their own life and what I've seen them do for other people, I can tell you why you should want to be this person's friend. I can tell you why you should want to know Jesus because I know Him for myself. I've seen Him for myself. And so even though other people are saying don't believe in Him, let me at least tell you and give you the opportunity to decide whether you really should have Him as a friend or not. That's up to you to decide that. But I'm going to at least tell you, lay it down there for you so you can think about it, reflect on it for yourself. Do I really want Jesus as a friend in my life? So I'm going to take this moment to pause and ask for the panel to share in on this moment.
All right. Amen. Dennis Bill, we didn't know if you was going to come up for air tonight. You was going to just keep swimming. You're doing a great, great job. I thought about kind of one or two different things. The scripture talks about all our righteousness is as filthy rags, and you have brought out about the when you're a new creature, it's like, you know, the change of clothes. I thought about as much as I, you know, try to walk and exercise and do my daily routine, depending on the clothing that I'm wearing and depending on how much I may sweat or whatever, the outside clothing, you know, just depending on how much whatever I've done throughout the day determine, you know, whether or not I can put that back in the closet or it needs to go into the hamper or the, you know, the dirty clothes. Just depending on what I wore and what activity I've done throughout that day. I mean, how much did I sweat or, you know, was I outside? Because whether we know it or not, and I'm quite sure we do know it, every time you take off clothes, once you go outside and come back, your clothes, you know, my mom and them used to say, boy, you smell like outdoor. You stink. You smell like outdoor. And they used to say something like you smell like wet dogs, you know, especially like now it's raining. So your clothing, it carries a scent. It carries a smell. Now, even though your clothing, depending on what you did that day, determines whether or not, you know, you can wear it again or it needs to go in dirty clothes. Now, your underclothes, you know, your drawers, you know, and for the women, you know, your panties, you know, that stuff you shouldn't be wearing another day, period. No matter what you done, well, let me speak for myself. I can't wear my drawers. Well, Lord help it, I'm probably going too far. But when you're new, okay, and you think about, let's put it this way. It might not be as, you know, but let's look at it like this. There's only so many times you can dry off with a towel. And there's only so many times you can wash with a washcloth. Eventually, it's going to carry a smell also. It's going to carry a sour smell, and you got to put that in the dirty clothes. And even though you've been clean and you just dried yourself with the towel, you just showered and cleaned yourself, but now you've dried yourself with that towel, eventually that towel is going to have to be in the dirty clothes. And that's what we've done with our lives. We keep trying to, for those of us that's not committed, fully committed to God, okay, we keep trying to old stuff that should have been, either we can't wear it no more, it's too small or it's too big, however, or it's to the point where there's a stench. And even though you have showered, if you keep putting on the same dirty stuff, it ain't going to be the soap that you use that the people are going to smell. They're going to smell that stench. They're going to smell that stink, okay, because of your clothing. And that's what we've done spiritually. We've tried to continue to wear the old man but claim to be a new man. When the scripture tells us any man be in Christ, I think I preached a message on that a few weeks ago, the new me. Okay, if you claiming to be new, but you still doing all your old stuff, I question your newness. Okay, something ought to be different. And we do understand that there are some things it takes time. There are certain habits, certain things that, you know, we've been doing for years. Our natural man is accustomed to it. It desires it. It wants it. And some folks even get sick when they don't get those things that they've done over the course of years. So I just thought about that. And my wife, you know, we were talking just the other day, like, you know, that towel, it's time to change towels, you know, because all our kids, we got three bathrooms in the house, but it just seemed like everybody liked to use our bathroom. And sometimes we don't know who done used the towel. So, you know, we just have to, you know, macho or come in there and take the, you know, so. Let's be mindful of when we're in Christ. Any man be in Christ is a new creature. People are watching you, and there is a stench. There is a smell, okay, that you carry. And when you walk by folk, you want it to be a sweet smelling favor. You want them to be able to see, oh man, that's something different. You want them to be able to smell, oh man, you know, and to notice, or in other words, recognize, okay, because you can recognize when somebody stinks. You should be recognized when you stink, okay? You should. And I ain't going to go into, my wife already said it. That's too much, so I'm going to leave that alone. But, you know, Evangelist Buzz, you're doing a great job. I'm so glad to be a part of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm trying not to laugh. I must hold my composure. But that was so good. And, you know, even you talking about us smelling good, we want to smell like a sweet, pleasing aroma, not only to people but to God. And we don't want to smell like hot trash juice and musty steak and other stuff, because we're wearing stuff that, as you said, should have been washed. And I even laughed to myself because I had a moment where I was saying to myself, I am 26 years old at the time, maybe even 25, and all I have is my work clothes, And I want some clothes that, like, reflect my age. I want to dress like I'm actually 20-something and not like I'm older, 40, 50-something. So I went through this moment of weakness, and I was like, I'm going to get me some clothes from Fashion Nova. I had no business getting me some clothes from Fashion Nova because I bought myself this outfit, and I was like, yeah, and I'm going to wear this when we go out, and I'm going to be young and cute, and everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, look at her. She's so young and cute. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me, and that outfit is now sitting in the Goodwill pile because I looked at this thing, and I said, where am I going to wear this to? Why am I putting this on? So people will look at me for what? What do I want people to look at me for? I'm already an introvert. I don't like when people look at me. So this is just the exact opposite of what I actually want and need. And what's the whole point? The only person who should be looking at me is my husband. And so if I'm going to wear this cute outfit, I better be wearing it around the house, and I better not be trying to step out here and wear it for other people to look at me. So Even in that moment, I had to go through a lot and mentally process, like, it's okay to wear the clothes that I wear because the clothes that I wear are modest in appearance and respectful. I'm not showing nothing. I'm not flashing nothing. I can bend down and pick something up and not have to be afraid that something's going to pop out, fall out. So I had to go through a lot in that one little outfit. The Lord had to deal with me a lot on how I dress myself, the clothes that I wear, the things that I do, because it's not about me. It's not about my physical appearance. It's not about what I'm doing with this outward display and appearance. What it's about is the inside. And if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to dress differently. I have to walk differently, and I have to talk differently if I want my ministry to be effective. If I want to make an impact, I can't do what everybody else is doing. I can't wear what everybody else is wearing. I can't say what everybody else is saying. I have to be different. And so I laugh when you said wearing clothes that we shouldn't be, things that need to be washed, things that we need to get rid of, that's too small, too big. That's just something that I personally had to go through within the past 2 years. And I just put that thing in the Goodwill pile, I think, this past weekend, because I looked at it and I said, I'm never going to wear this. I need to get rid of this. It's time to let go of this. This moment, this phase of my life is gone, and I'm not coming back to this. So I appreciate you, Pastor, for sharing on tonight. And so we're going to get back in here into the rest of this, of Ephesians 4. And so we are talking about learning Christ, knowing Christ, and the renewing of our minds. And so our Christian life must go beyond head knowledge, but it must absolutely include head knowledge and influence our whole manner of thinking. This is not just in the sense of knowing facts, but the ability to set our minds on the right things. And this is so fundamental to the Christian life that Christian growth can even be described as the renewing of our minds. Whatever thoughts we used to have, we have to renew our mind. There's some things that we need to get rid of and some things that we need to replace and get a new set. All right, we got to get new thoughts, we got to get new habits, new attitudes, and new behavior. Someone is not muted. You can check your mic and mute yourself. Thank you. And so in this Ephesians, it says, in Ephesians 4, it says, the Ephesians learned Christ, not only learning about Jesus, but also learning him. And this means a living, abiding knowledge of Jesus, and that Jesus will keep us from the kind of sinful conduct that Paul speaks of. And just knowing about Jesus isn't enough to keep us pure. And we just knowing the right church things to say to get by, just knowing the right church things to do to put up that appearance that we know him for ourselves isn't enough, because eventually somebody's going to be able to read between the lines and see that we might have the head knowledge about Jesus, but we don't actually know him for ourselves. So if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you must live with him. First, he must himself speak to you, and afterwards, you must abide in him. He must be the choice companion of your morning hours. He must be with you throughout the day, and with him you must also close the night. And as often as you may wake during the night, you must say, when I am awake, still with thee. Jesus is not just somebody that you only think of on Tuesdays and Sundays, but he is on your mind and at the very front of your mind of every hour, of every day, of every moment. Jesus is walking with you, literally walking with you throughout every step of your day. And so when we put on this new man, we put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so this new man is the new creation created in us at conversion. It is the person created according to the image of Jesus Christ and instinctively righteous and holy. It is in contrast to the old man, who is the person inherited from Adam and who instinctively rebels against God. And so we are so distracted and far removed as a church body, and as a people, that we, some of us, as believers, those of us who are saved and profess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, all right, I'm not talking about the people who aren't saved. I'm talking about the people who are saved or the people who attend church regularly. You think, you believe, you kind of sure maybe somewhere along the way you think you got saved. You don't know the word for yourself. We don't know the word for ourselves, and we just know it because what someone else has told us. We've inherited Bible stories. We've inherited things about Jesus just because that's what we heard growing up, and that's just what we've known all of our lives. This is what someone else has told us, and we've never taken the time to investigate for ourselves what is that actually true, or what part of the book of the Bible, or what part of the Bible does that come from? What book can I find this information? And the more we depend on what someone else has told us, the easier it is for the devil to slip in and deceive us. And so, and when we were talking about this earlier, we were talking about how if we're not careful, then the devil will come in and we'll be blown away with every wind of doctrine. And so we have to know the Bible for ourselves. It's not just head knowledge, but it's knowing who Jesus Christ is. So even though there's people on the internet that are Christians who have internet ministries, who are trying to reach people through the platforms, TikTok is not your Bible. YouTube is not your Bible. Facebook is not your Bible. I'm sure all of us, we have seen people who post scriptures and like the, you know, cute little inspirational Bible backgrounds where it's got the flowers in the background and the mountains and it's got a psalm or something or Proverbs or something. And we just take it and accept it at face value. And some of us may be guilty. I know I was, when I had social media, guilty of just accepting it as fact and just seeing that picture and saying, oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. They said it's in the Bible, so I'm sure it's in the Bible. And how many of us, when we see those things and we hear those things, that we go back to the word for ourselves and actually verify and confirm, all right, they said it was this chapter, and I'm going back, and this chapter don't say what that chapter says in this picture. So, you know, we have to be in the habit of confirming everything that we hear and verifying and making sure that it's in the Word. And some of us, we've just become passive. Like, we just accept it as it is what it is because you said so, so I'm not even going to question it for myself. I mean, it sounds right, and that's where the devil gets us is when it sounds right. And if we don't know it for ourselves, and that's when he can slip in, is he will use the truth and a lie, mix them together where it sounds right. It sounds like it could be, you know, pretty much what Jesus said. But when we go in and compare it to the word for ourselves, and we see there's some deception there. There's some things that we have to be careful of. And so we have to know the word for ourselves, and we have to study this word. And so one of my favorite resources and things that I love to go to is gotquestions.org. And you can go to this website and basically ask any question about the Bible, and it will give you articles, resources, and things where people who are in seminary school, who have their doctorates and masters and degrees in theology and have gone to seminary, they have answers for you to help you discern, is this biblical, is this not? And so I go to this website often, and when I went to it, it was talking about what does the scripture say? It said that the word of God is always true and reliable. The same cannot be said of church tradition. Our guideline is to be, what does scripture say? And that's coming from Romans 4 and 3, Galatians 4, 30, Acts 17, 11. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 declares, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so at the time that I wrote this, on the Sunday before, we had sang twice. It was two Sundays in a row. We had sang that the Bible is right and somebody is wrong. And we have to know the word for ourselves and take the stuff that people say and go back to the Bible and decide, are they saying what the Bible says, so therefore they're right? Or are they giving their own interpretation that doesn't line up with the Bible, so therefore they're wrong? That's our only area, is what the Bible says or what somebody else says. And if it's what somebody else says, we can't accept that if it's going against what the word of God says. And so there's so many people claiming to speak for God on TikTok, on YouTube, on Facebook, in real life, in our day-to-day interactions, where I was talking to a friend of ours, and she was saying how, when she's on TikTok, she sees people who are like, God told me to tell you. And she's just like, no, I don't think God told you to tell me that, but okay, I'm going to try the Spirit by the Spirit first and verify that what you're saying is actually what his word says. And so we have to discern, we have to be careful what we accept, what we receive, because if it is not from his word, and the people who are claiming to speak for God and speak his word, and they're not matching up, lining up, we got to rebuke that, and we have to correct it too. And of course, as we said before, when we're doing this Bible study, with gentleness and kindness, okay? There's a way we have to do it, with gentleness and kindness, but we can't receive and accept everything from everybody. And so if it's not lining up with the written word of God, we have to reject that and say, that's not for me, because that is not what God says. And so because we have to be able to do that, we need to know the word for ourselves so that we may not be deceived. And we have to be equipped, meaning that we are prepared mentally for a particular situation or task, for every good work at all times. So we have to be ready at every single moment, at every single time. And the only way we can be equipped mentally and spiritually to become the new man, to put on the new man, is to be in our word daily, hourly, minute by minute, meditating on what God has to say to us through scripture. And if the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, he will bring those scriptures to the forefront of your mind when you're facing any situation, difficult, good, bad, doesn't matter, somewhere in between, in the middle, wherever you're at, if you are sensitive to God's spirit, he will instruct you and lead you and guide you. And, well, this is actually what the word says. This is actually what I'm telling you is the right thing to do, the right thing to say, the right thing to think even. So we have to be sensitive and have that word in us so that the Holy Spirit can bring it back to our memory. And so a lot of us, we have the tendency to ask ourselves first, well, self, what do you think I should do? You can't listen to yourself all the time. And some of us have the tendency to go to our neighbor. And for me, it's my coworker across the hall from me. It's my colleague, it's my friend, it's my husband. Sometimes I go to the people around me first instead of going to God first. And God can speak to us through those people, but they got to be the right people, okay? We got to make sure that the people that are speaking to us know the Lord for themselves. Because otherwise, if they don't know the Lord for themselves and they say, God told me to tell you, I don't think that was God that was speaking to you. So we should be able to go to God first and then get it out off of our chest to him first. And then we go down that line in order. Because some of us, we have it out of order. We go to the people around us first and consult God last. And we have to be careful what other people tell us, what other advice we accept, because if we're not talking to the right people, then we can take on things that God never intended for us to take on. So we have to go to God first, and then if he's given us the right people, then we can get godly counsel from the other believers that are in our lives, and we can trust what they have to say because they know and we know that they know what God says, and so they're going to instruct us and guide us and train us in righteousness. And if someone says something to us that is contrary, then we can say, that's not what the book says, so I can't listen to you right now. And so it's often when we feel as though we've been wronged or mistreated, that we just want someone to hear our case. And that's where we have to be careful when who we go to. Because we might go to somebody who's going to tell us, oh, yeah, you're justified. You can feel like that, girl. If I were you, I would have cussed them out, too. And we have to be careful who we go to. Because if we avoid God, then we avoid the right instruction. Some of us intentionally and purposefully don't go to God first. Because we know that when we talk to him, he's going to talk us out of how we feel and calm our minds. Some of us don't want that. Some of us love to live in the chaos, and we don't want God to change our perspective because the burden, for us, it feels too heavy at times to love our neighbor, to forgive our neighbor, to do what's righteous and to do what's holy, and we have to be careful when we try to sit in or linger in that spot and in that moment and not seek God first and his righteousness. And so we have to make sure that we go to God first and that we allow God to work on us and tell us and remind us that we're not, even though we might be hurt, we might be bitter, we might be angry, we might be to the point of rage, that we have to come down from that. We have to come back from that. We have to turn away from that and live as how Christ wants us to live. And so I'm just going to take a moment and pause for the panel, and we, Bishop, if you'd like, we can do the offerings.
All right. All right. Anyone on the panel have any comments for right now? Anyone on the panel?
I'll comment. I like to, well, when everyone teaches, I make sure I take notes because a lot of times, you know, we do stuff just because, and, you know, well, let's just hear and let's just listen what's going on, but it's good to take notes, and I hope everybody that's listening tonight is actually taking notes because Evangelist Bugs has given some amazing advice through the Word of God. It's so much that I can comment on, and something that stuck out when the scripture says, as far as not adding or taking anything away from the Word of God, I was sharing this with one of my sisters in Christ at the church, and I was telling her, I said, even with the different Bibles that you read, you have to be careful with those because as we were taught while we were going through our classes and seminary and all of those things, like, because one word, it will change the whole meaning of the scripture. And now you're going back and forth with somebody that's sound and they know what they're talking about, but because you got caught up in, even with these different people, you know, that has been to seminary school and all these different things, you have to also take in mind that these people that do these things, they're not all Christians. They're not all Christians. It was an elder that used to go to our church, and he was talking about a real good friend of his that wanted to learn the Bible, but he was not a believer. So you have to be mindful that when you come in contact with someone and they want to tell you what they believe and it's not in the Word of God, why are you standing there going back and forth with, that's a dead conversation. That's a dead conversation. Then also I wanted to comment when Evangelist Bugs, you were speaking on, you know, people both are like, yeah, you better be glad that I'm not like this or that, or, you know, because I used to be. You have to use your past for a testimony. I was sharing with one of the young ladies on my bus, one of my students, and I was telling her, you know, because they get on the bus in the morning, it's like, good morning, how are you doing? Good morning, good morning. But some of them, they never respond. You don't know what's going on in that child's life. And so I was telling her, you know, I used to have a bad attitude as well. But you know what? If I can change, I said, you can change too. I said, because my situations, you know, growing up and my different things that I was faced against, it caused those attitudes, you know, to really peek its head out at, you know, certain times. So I was telling her, but you have to use your what you went through to help someone else. And putting on that old man, I'm taking off that old man and putting on that new man, that's, and it should show in every walk of life. You keep promising these things to God. Well, Lord, you do this, I'm not going to go back. Well, God, you do this, I'm not, Lord, I'll be faithful, I'll be committed. Okay, well, you got on that new man, okay, you have accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into your life, he'll bring about a change, you know, just like in relationships, we make promises and like, okay, well, let's put that thing to the side, put that old man to the side, but you keep going over there and you keep picking that thing back up. So it's just, this lesson tonight is absolutely, it's absolutely right. It's right on time because we have to stand on the word of God. We have to teach holiness. It's either holiness or hell. Holiness is, it's not in what you wear, but as women, and we have our women's service and our program coming up real soon, but you don't hear that stuff in the church. You have the first ladies and the evangelists and the leaders that are supposed to be leading God's people, the women. I'm speaking about the women. I can talk about the men too, but I'm going to stick with the women. Far as being modest, you have the ones that are in leadership coming to church with halter tops on, with, you know, with their bellies and different things showing and dresses so short, you know, you got to come and put something, you know, a sheet or your jacket over your legs, but we don't teach those things in the church no more. Yes, you can be beautiful, but you don't have to, it's a difference. It's a difference. The way you dress in the club, unless you are a newcomer, because, you know, we welcome all. The scripture does not say come as you are. Let's just put that out there. The scripture does not say, and this goes back to what you said, Evangelist Bugs, about, you know, what you read and what's online. Nowhere in the Bible does scripture say come as you are. And people will say, well, the Bible says come as you are. No, the Bible does not tell you to come as you are. And then we abuse that because come as you are doesn't mean you've been in church all these years, but you hypocrite and then you're on the fence and you want someone to pacify your mess and your sins. No, there's a difference between holy and unholy. If you die unholy, in hell you're going to lift up your eyes. If you die unholy, in hell you'll lift up your eyes. If you're holy as a saint in God, when you open up your eyes in eternity, it will be with Jesus Christ. But Evangelist Bugs, you are on point. You know, you were on point. I'm glad you came up for air because I wanted to comment since last week. Thank y'all. Love you.
All right. Great comment, Lady Zachary. Anyone else on the panel? All right. Let's give our offertorium information, and then we'll turn it back over to Sister Bugs for her any last comments that she may have. And man, like my wife said, we are definitely enjoying tonight, and we thank God for what we are hearing. Thank God for the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm offering information tonight if you would like to give. We have two ways in which you can do it. We have our church, Praise Tabernacle, $PTC877. That's the church cash app, $PTC877. And also, if you would like to give to our extended arms ministry, which is our outreach ministry, you can do so at Extended Arm. It's Extended Arm without an S. Extended Arm. And may the Lord bless you real good. All right. Evangelist Bugs, service is back into your hands for whatever your final is for tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Omar, and thank you, First Lady. for your comments on tonight. I am just going to say that we are coming closer to the end of Ephesians 4, and as we're slowly working our way through this, I hope that you spend some time in Ephesians 4 just reading it again from beginning to end in this week, and what it is that God is trying to say to us as a church, how he's trying to wake us up as a church and call us into this holiness and this righteousness that's ours. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we have faith in Jesus Christ, and we have access to righteousness, and we have access to holiness. It is our legal right. It is our inheritance. It's what belongs to us. It's ours. And so we should be claiming it. We should be using it. We should be living in it. And so I just pray that for you in this week, for everyone that's listening, that if there's any area, and I'm sure for all of us there is some area, whatever it may be, that you turn it over to Jesus, that you don't sit in it for too much longer, that you come out of it immediately, and that you allow God to use who you are now as a testimony and a witness to those that are in need of hearing the good news and the sweet news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you are encouraged in this word, and that the fire is lit within you, is stoked, is burning brighter and brighter, hotter and hotter, more and more each day, and that you don't lose your zeal, you don't lose your fire, you don't lose your passion for God and the things of God and the people of God. And I just pray that you be blessed on this night. And those are my final comments. And so if anyone else has any final comments, please.
All right. All right. Great, great message. Great message on tonight. Before I close, anyone else on the panel, any final comments from anyone on the panel before I close? All right. All right. Well, God bless. We thank all of you for tuning in tonight. Amen. Dungeons Bugs, great, great job, great word, and uncompromising word. And God knows we're living in a time now where people are compromising on just about everything, any and everything that they can. And it's good to still be able to get a good, sound, doctrinal word, a good sound Bible study, a good sound word. And we know we living in a age now where it's all about the praise breaks. And God knows it don't nobody like to dance more than I do. I love praising God. But we got a lot of folks we got a lot of click tracks and we got a lot of beat machines and stuff, and everybody shouting and dancing, but ain't nobody living holy. Ain't nobody living right. Ain't nobody, not say nobody, but we got a lot of churches that are celebrating. You'll see a praise break on YouTube at the church, but you won't hear no word. You won't hear nothing about the gospel. And at our church, that's why, you know, for the most part, when we go live, we do the whole, we want you to get it all. We want you, we going to shout, we going to dance, but we understand what the most important thing is, the word. The most important, the reason why you should go to church, okay, the reason why you should go to church is for the word. And I'm saying church, we, the believer, we individually, we are the church, but I'm saying church as the building, the corporate. The reason why you should go there is as a fellowship with other believers, okay? And if you even look at the scripture in Acts, when the first church, when it was started, okay, when it was started, it was about those that were in fellowship, okay, the like-minded believers. Even the church then wasn't for everybody, okay? You had to be a believer to be considered, okay, a part of that fellowship, all right? So the word should always, a good shout is good, but let me hear what the preacher is saying. Okay, let me hear what the evangelist, let me hear the message. We got a lot of praise breaks out there. Everybody do praise breaks now. Okay, everybody do praise breaks, because that's what entertaining. See, the praise breaks are entertaining. Okay, for a lot of us, it's to see who can dip the most, who can cross, how many times we can turn around in a circle, how many times we can do jump rope and do hopscotch. And that's what the praise breaks has turned into. Okay, but let me hear the word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. God said, my word shall not pass away. My word is going to stand. So we used to sing an old song, and we're still singing now. In the word of God, I got to hide in place. So ain't nothing wrong with praise breaking. We appreciate that. We love that. We, you know, praise tabernacle, we do that. But the word is what's most, that's what should reign supreme. We have a lot of people say, man, we went to church and the spirit was so high that we couldn't, that the preacher couldn't preach. I don't understand that. I don't understand how the spirit, the Holy Spirit, it can be so high that the preacher couldn't preach. To me, that don't make sense. That don't even sound like what the Holy Ghost, we don't even see that. And there's books talking about be careful who you hear and who you talk to and, you know, being able to find it in the word. We don't. There's nothing that in the word that supports that. But the spirit was so high, the preacher couldn't preach. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Not by the shouting and dancing. It's the word that saves. It's the word that convicts. The word is what evangelizes. Okay? The music may get them in, but the word is what's going to keep them. Okay, so let's make sure, as Evangelist Bull said tonight, let's make sure that we are hungry and thirsty after the word. For if we hungry and thirst after righteousness or the word of God, we shall be filled. Okay, we shall be filled. So let's go after the word, praise breaking, all that is good. You know, let's do that. But let's make sure when it's time for the word, we can hone in. That's the only thing that disturbs the enemy. When the enemy, Lord, okay, I said I was going to be through. When the enemy came to Jesus, when the tempter, when the devil came to Jesus, those three times when he took to the high mountain, when he was led by the Spirit to the high mountain, it wasn't no praise break. It was Jesus didn't start dancing. He didn't start dancing. He used the word. The devil don't get excited over no praise break. That don't frighten him. Because, you know, he was the chief musician. That's what they did. Okay? You ain't going to run the devil off by you dancing and crossing at a knee and taking a dip and twirling around. He's going to still be right there. But if you use the word, there's power in the word. When Jesus came back at the enemy, the enemy said one thing, Jesus used the word to fight him. He used the word to combat. Even though the enemy was using the word, It was some hidden, he had hidden agenda. He was using it falsely. Like a lot of pastors do now, they use it to fit whatever their agenda is. They use the word to fit whatever, you know, they'll make you think them committing adultery ain't a sin. They'll have you thinking it's okay. So we got to have God's word in our heart that we don't sin against it. So, all right. Great, great job on tonight's day's book. Looking forward to, I think this Sunday, I think you up to minister. Amen. We're taking a little time off for the next few weeks or so, giving back to the staff. So I can just sit there and praise and hear and be preached to, be taught. Amen. So I thank God for allowing us to have men and women of God that's working with us that are capable of teaching and preaching the gospel. So we thank God we'll be hearing from her again. I believe it's this Sunday. Listen, y'all have a great week. Come see us Sunday morning, 8:45 at 275 Simonton Road, Southeast, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30045. We've turned Simonton Elementary into Praise Headquarters. Come join us. We'd love to see you there. Father, we thank you as we leave this place for your presence. Thank you for this Bible study on tonight. We thank you for our teacher and pray that you continue to crown her head with wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for those on the panels, those that gave remarks, those that were listening in. Thank you for ask that you just touch every listener on tonight. Touch their hearts, touch their minds. Help us to, as a corporate body and individually, help us to desire the sincere milk of the word. But we know everything else is going to fail, but your word's going to stand. As we leave this place, but never your presence. Matthew 28:19-20 says us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.